For A-State Connections, I'm Jonathan Reeves. Arkansas State University's Chancellor Dr. Kelly Damphus talks to us for the second Saturday update on KASU about coronavirus concerns and what Arkansas State University is doing at this time. And here is the interview with Arkansas State University's Chancellor Dr. Kelly Damphus.
Right now, what's really consuming a lot of our time right now is dealing with the coronavirus and about how we're going to respond to that. We've got students who are currently doing study abroad. We have faculty and staff who are about to make trips abroad, including going to some countries that were pretty high up the list of travel advisory list. I myself was about to go to China about 3 weeks ago and cancel that trip because of the virus. And so we're dealing with that right now. And spring break's right around the corner. That can't get here quickly enough for students, I think. Faculty and staff like it too. It's a little quieter pace. It's a nice break in the middle of the semester, kind of catch your breath and then go on again. And then there's all the other stuff that's happening, including the I think very soon we'll release our strategic plan to the campus so that people can see the fruits of their labor. So that's an exciting time for all of us.
Let's go back to the coronavirus thing for one second. I know we touched on this a little bit last month, but now there's been more concerns about it really becoming something real in the United States and possible cases in Arkansas, although that's not been confirmed as of yet. And whether it is or not, by the time that this is actually aired, you know, that's one thing or another. But have you all been kind of doubling down the efforts on things by way of coronavirus and that, or is it basically kind of the same? What's the university doing right now in relation to that?
That's a great question. One of the things that most people may not know is that we actually have an emergency procedure manual for every kind of emergency that's out there. A armed person on campus, or a tornado that hits the campus, or any kind of disaster that could happen on campus. We've already got those things mapped out. We have a whole section that's related to what we call pandemic response. And so 2 years ago it was Ebola, 3 years ago it was MERS, a year ago it was SARS, then it was swine flu and bird flu. And so these things pop up. And so we've developed procedures in place. One of the things we have to be sure about is, first, we want to inform people what our plans are without, feeding the panic that's out there, because people are uncertain. And again, that going back to the communication, helping to alleviate anxiety.
Right.
We want to make sure people know that we have plans and what our plans are, know what the risks are and what they can do to prevent becoming infected with the virus. And so we're actually putting together on Tuesday, where we released our website that explains everything we know about the virus, links to the CDC, links to the WHO, and also our procedures, what we want to put in place. If a professor gets sick and can't come to class, how will she manage her class? If a student gets the virus, how will she be able to manage the class and her workload and so on? What happens if the campus gets shut down because of a pandemic breakout? It could happen not very soon. The chances of it happening are pretty low, but we need to be prepared for that. So we've got that all laid out. We're not necessarily going to reveal all of our plan right now because we don't need to. We will as time comes along. The biggest thing is to let people know what our plans are and to have faculty start thinking about what happens if the campus is shut down, or what happens if you can't come, or what happens if half your class can't come to class. How will you manage that using our online system? We have a learning management system called Blackboard that faculty and students use. And how can you continue the operations without interfering with the process and the learning experience, but also keep everybody safe. The biggest thing we're doing, though, is reminding people that there are safeguards you can take to keep yourself safe. And the biggest thing is mostly about hygiene, about washing your hands regularly, not touching your face with your hands very much, and not coughing and sneezing into the elbow of your arm, not into your hand or into the public. The coronavirus is mostly, as far as we know, translated through droplets that come up from a cough or a sneeze. And if we can mitigate against that, we can really help limit the spread of the virus. And so, and the virus is not as contagious as something like the measles or mumps. Those are much more contagious because they're spread in other forms than just with droplets. But we have to be prepared. So we're working really hard. We had a meeting on Monday where we brought everybody on campus that was relevant, all the leaders on campus, to bring them together to make sure that everybody knew what the plans were. Everyone knew what their responsibilities were in case this happens or this happens or this happens. So we're really prepared. I'm really proud of our team. We hope that we never have to enact the things we've planned for, but we can't react. We have to be prepared to be proactive here. And we're in really good shape.
Fantastic. So let's go on and we'll just kind of see how that goes and all that. And we'll be happy to work with you as more information needs to be released. We'll work with you on that in future times. Let's switch gears here a little bit and talk about something that's coming up, Census 2020. I like how when you came here, you had something that everyone, saying that everyone really just jumped on real fast. Every Red Wolf counts. Census 2020, you've now deemed it as Count Every Red Wolf. Yeah. And I like that.
it's a clever play on words. I wish I could take credit for it, but our media team jumped on that. But it's really important that people get counted. I think there's a resistance, maybe it's associated with mistrust of the government about not wanting to get counted. Maybe you're worried about what questions they'll ask you, but being counted as part of the census is really important for Northeast Arkansas, for the state of Arkansas, and even for Jonesboro and Craighead County. I saw a map recently that showed the undercounted area. There are estimates out there, and the census kind of knows how many people there should be in certain areas. That's based on tax records and other things that they can measure. And Arkansas State University and the area surrounding Arkansas State was among the lowest counted in Craighead County areas. And so we're putting a real push on our students who sometimes during a decennial census think, well, my mom and dad are going to count me because I live in Beebe and they're going to count me down there, but they don't. If they're sleeping and wherever your head hits the bed on April 1st, that's where you need to be counted. And so we're working very, very hard to get our students to get counted, our staff, our faculty to get counted, and also the area surrounding us to encourage them to get counted. Because the amount of money we get from the federal government is dependent on how many people we have. It also affects the number of representatives you have in the House of Representatives, for example. And if your numbers go too low, you could actually lose a congressman. And so we want to make sure everyone gets counted. It's unfortunate that there are some people that are just hard to count. Homeless people are hard to count. And we work really hard to do that. But we want to make sure that every Red Wolf gets counted.
Yeah, so. And even if they're international students.
Yes, that's another thing. People don't realize that we do want to know how many international students we have. We have almost 900 international students here on our campus, and we want them to be counted. And they might feel kind of strange about, do I do this or not because I'm not a citizen? But international students, people who are here on visas. So we have some faculty members who are here on work visas. We have people in the community who are here on visas. All of them need to get counted, no matter. It's not just counting citizens, it's counting people who are here.
Right. And so that's going to be taking place April, is when all that starts.
April 1's the big day.
The big day,
You can actually do it a little bit before. You can go online and do it. That's another thing we're trying to promote, is you don't have to have a census taker come to your door and knock on your door and answer the questions. There'll be census forms mailed to you, or you can do it online this year as well. And so we'll be promoting those links as well, because while April 1's the kind of the firm date, we just want to make sure people get counted as of where they were on April 1 or where they will be on April 1.
Fantastic. Let's talk about graduate dean. We have a new graduate dean for the graduate school. That's Dr. Sharice Jones Branch. Your thoughts on that and what that's going to mean for Arkansas State?
Well, it's a really important hire. When I came here for my job interview, the faculty was one of the most common questions they asked me was, what do you think about the fact that we don't have a graduate college? And I don't want to get into why we didn't. There was a decision that was made in the past to eliminate or dissolve the graduate college. The reasons for that are not important to me. But it is important to me that the faculty wanted to have a graduate college. I met with the graduate students not long after I arrived here as a chancellor, and I have great empathy for them because I was a graduate student one time in the past, and I know how their needs are different from undergraduates. I know the challenges that they face. We recruit them differently. We fund them differently. They have a different kind of status in our campus. And without a graduate college and without a graduate dean, they are basically afloat. And when a graduate student complains to me about some issue going on, I didn't really have someone that I could refer them to for help. And so the graduate dean serves as an advocate for the graduate students, but also serves as a gatekeeper and a rule keeper, make sure we follow the rules that we have in place. And so the first thing we had to do was hire a graduate dean. We're reconstituting the graduate college. And she'll be starting this summer. We're already having a lot of conversations about professional development because she doesn't have any experience running a graduate college. Most graduate deans are in the same position as her because there's not normally a normal succession. We don't normally have an associate dean there who can step up to it.
Right.
But there are a lot of national associations you can send people to learn how to become a graduate dean. There are universities that we aspire to be like that are also research universities that have already offered us, have reached out to us and said, if your new graduate dean wants to come visit our graduate college, we'd be happy to show her through. At least two different universities have done that. And so she's going to hit the road running, but she's got a huge learning curve because not only is she learning how to be a dean, but she's also reconstituting a graduate college, and there are staffing issues related with that. But if we're going to be a research two university like we are now, we're going to depend on having a really strong graduate program because our faculty work with our graduate students. And have a really strong graduate program, we need a graduate college, we need a graduate dean. Those things are all intertwined. And it was one of the easiest decisions I made since I got here to reconstitute the college and to hire someone. Selecting the person was actually a pretty hard decision because
we
had three
pool.
Internal candidates and they were all excellent. One of the things that's interesting, in the past, our vice provost for research and our graduate dean was the same person. And a lot of universities have that model,
right,
that are smaller and don't have a very good research portfolio. We decided to split that up and make that two different people. So Tom Risch, who's a biologist, he's a natural scientist, is our vice provost for research. And I thought it was really nice that Charisse is actually a humanities faculty member. So she comes from the liberal arts perspective. So we actually are marrying the arts, the liberal arts, and the sciences with those two people now. So it's a really nice diversity of academic expertise among those two people, which is fantastic. And they're both extremely qualified. They're both extremely admired across our campus. And so the two positions, vice provost for research with Tom Risch and our graduate dean with Charisse Jones-Branch position us to really kind of move forward in this idea of wanting to maintain our status as a research two university.
And that's one of the things I was going to ask you by way of how will this graduate college, you touched on it a little bit, but could you give us an example of how it will specifically help meet the challenges that graduate students may face on campus?
Sure. So here's an example. We have a lot of students who come from international locations to come be graduate students here. And they might face some financial challenges, or they may have issues with their stipends not being sufficient compared to other places. They might have issues with their insurance, health insurance, not being sufficient. They may have issues with their faculty member. Maybe they're not getting along with their advisor. And in graduate school, your advisor is the most important person for a graduate student. That's your mentor. That's the person who's going to help you get through graduate college. And sometimes those relationships become strained, and those are all those issues. Maybe they failed their comprehensive exam and they don't know how to prepare. You usually get a second chance at it. How do you prepare for the second chance? Those are all issues that a graduate dean can help a graduate student, many of whom, again, are international students who don't have parents or someone they can lean on. But a graduate dean can help them really kind of turn what seems to be a very difficult situation to a successful situation. And that's why, you know, Charisse is going to be perfect at this because she's already been a wonderful role model on our campus and a mentor, and she's got a lot of good experience there. That's why she'll be so helpful. There's also, there's a lot of graduate school is really hard. So you only take two or three classes a semester, but at the end you take comprehensive exams or you write a thesis or a dissertation, and getting not just taking the classes isn't enough. Managing the stress of the exams and managing the stress of writing a dissertation, we need to provide professional development for students that a faculty member might not be able to provide. Most of our faculty came from Research One universities. They got their PhDs at Research One universities, where there's a huge support net around the graduate students that we don't have here. And so our faculty are not really necessarily equipped to help people learn how to study, how to deal with stress or anxiety, how to be prepared to write a big project like a dissertation. A graduate dean can provide all that assistance.
That's fantastic. So Dr. Charisse Jones Branch is a graduate dean. And as that's going on, of course, there have been a couple of other hires that are kind of in the works by way of different deans and other things. It's kind of, I know we use this as a basketball term, but it's a little bit like March Madness in a way. There's a lot of stuff going on.
The spring, you know, every semester is different, but there also is things that are the same.
Yeah.
And the thing that we know about the spring is we get towards the end of the spring semester, we start having all the award ceremonies, kind of a build up to graduation.
Yeah.
But early spring is when a lot of hires are done. And so we have on campus this week and last week, we have candidates for the agriculture dean or the dean of College of Agriculture and candidates for the dean's position in the College of Business. And so those are two really important hires. And that will fill out we'll have all of our deans hired at the end of this month, hopefully. Because we have a couple of interim deans we had for a while here.
Sure.
But we'll be now stabilized in the academic leadership. We have a new provost who just got here last summer. We'll have all of our dean slots filled for the first time in years. You know, we've had an interim dean in the College of Business for 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's a real challenge. We've been blessed by having two people who stepped up to be the interim dean over that course of time. But it's really challenging for a college to not have that consistent leadership and the leadership of someone who's got a vision for making a change. Being an interim dean is very difficult. You're challenged in your ability to kind of lead and make innovative changes and so on.
Right.
But a permanent dean, I'm saying permanent with rabbit ears because no one's permanent anymore.
Right.
But a permanent dean can start investing and investing his or her ideas about what the future of the college will look like. And frankly, as you know, every university is facing challenges. We've heard about two public schools in our state that are facing significant financial challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I just read earlier this week about a private school in our state that is laying off faculty because of enrollments down. I mean, we're about to face some very challenging times. I've made no secret about this, and we need deans who are ready to face that challenge. Private fundraising, recruiting students, retaining students, graduating students, having stronger relationships with our community members. We need a academic leadership who is ready to face those challenges. And I think next time we chat, we'll have those slots all filled, which is really exciting. We haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in April for the second Saturday conversation. As we wrap this up, let's talk about the track team. Track teams, men's and women's, very recently, they did good for the Sun Belt Conference Championship.
They did really well. For the first time in 31 years, they both won the indoor track championship for the Sun Belt, both men's and women's. I take a lot of credit for that. I went and showed them some of my techniques for sprinting.
Yes.
And I could tell when I was watching the sprinters online, I could tell they were taking my advice. None of that's true. But they have an excellent coaching staff. I'm really proud of them. And we have had a long history of excellent track student athletes here, three of whom competed in the Olympics. And we have Olympic Drive on our campuses, you know, honors them. But even more recently than that, the last few years, we've had some outstanding student athletes here that are breaking personal records, it seems like every meet, and are performing so well. And because of that, that's another way of, athletics is a window to Arkansas State University, and people see that we win these championships. They may not be a track star, but they hear about that, or a track fan, but they hear about that, and that reflects well on us. And those student athletes, not only are they good athletes, they're tremendous students as well.
Yeah.
Our track and field graduation and retention rates and GPAs are unbelievably good. And so I'm super proud of them and super proud of their coaches and the whole athletics program. And again, not just the coaches, but also the people who work in the academic programs and athletics do a fantastic job as well.
I think you could also teach goalkeepers in soccer also how to do that as well.
I have done that, but coach no longer wants me. He doesn't need me giving them any bad habits. And so I'm out of that now. I'm just a head cheerleader.
Just saying. I mean, you've got the skills, man. It's on video. You've got the skills.
Nobody scores on me, but it's pretty brutal to watch.
For A-State Connections, I'm Jonathan Raves.